Hey, it's Tony, and it's that time of year again. We like to call it Bracket Week. Yeah, because we're really not that smart. We're not that creative, but we call it Bracket Week. Today, we'll get NCAA picks from Steve Sands, Michael Wilbon, and Barry Zwarluga. But first, let's keep the sales weasels happy.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Previously on the Tony Kornheiser Show.
And you relate to that, right? Our skills, Tony, are limited.
Whatever skills you have, I have fewer skills than you do. And I'm not proud of this. And the reason we're doing this podcast together is if anything goes wrong with it, my son can fix it because he's 30 and he understands the stuff. Whenever he comes home to visit, first thing he says is, "Can I help you with your phone? Because I have so much trouble using my phone other than just as a phone."
It's a phone. That's what it is. It's a phone.
The Tony Kornheiser Show is on now.
Tim Kirkchin, wonderful, just like me, doesn't know how to do anything.
I wonder if his phone ever gets stuck in landscape mode.
Yeah, I get that, yeah. Right?
No, we're aware of that.
I don't like that at all when it goes sideways. No. Get it out of that. All right, this is Bracket Week. Today we will have Steve Sands, Michael Wilbon, and Barry Zwarluga picking brackets. Throughout the week we will have other people picking brackets, familiar voices to all of you. I'm going to be very brief on my introduction to the tournament. I don't bleed for teams that didn't get in. I don't. Shut up, as Wilbon would say. 68 teams are in this thing. If you somehow think you're the 69th team, like St. John's or Indiana State, win more games. Now, you had an opportunity. You had 30 games over the course of the year. Win more games. But don't ask me to bleed. And writers who just go on and on about snubs, shut up. You know, really, just enough is enough. Can we find out, by the way, how Lenardi did? Lenardi may not have gotten 67 out of this one.
Oh, yeah, we'll check on
that.
You
know, I want you to check on that. Steve Sands is with us. I'm going to announce right here that one of the prizes, we don't know all the prizes, will be a PTI-worn sport jacket from Brooks Brothers, gray pinstripe. I'm giving it away. I gave one away last year. I don't know who got it, but I'm giving one away. Not giving it to Sands, because Sands can't even wear those things on the air. He's got to wear Golf Channel clothing. That's what. Before we go to your bracket, I spent so much time watching the Players event, and I thought it was a very, very great event. And I'm thrilled that Scottie Scheffler won it with a 64 on Sunday. That's great. But, and this has to be mentioned, the three closest challengers, any one of whom or all of whom could have gotten into a playoff with Scheffler, had putts of 10 feet or less, I believe, on either 17 where Shoffley had it or 18 where Harmon and Clark had it. What did you make of them all missing, particularly the last one, Clark, which did a 270 and came out?
Oh, man, the Wyndham Clark one was cruel. I mean, that's one of the reasons why people say golf is a four-letter word. That was a brutal, brutal lip out. The Harmon one, I think Harmon got screwed a little bit on his second shot. I thought that coming out of the pine straw, that ball was going to bound forward and go close to the cup as opposed to checking up once it got on the green. And as far as Shoffley goes, man, Tony, Xander's got to be back. I mean, Shoffley's the best player. I mean, Scheffler's the best player in the world, but Xander's got to win that Players, doesn't he? I mean, he was in control of it. He should have been better than 19 under, I think. At the end of the day, the way he hit the ball, he just didn't make the putts when he had to. But the Harmon one I thought was rough with the second shot. The Clark one was the one that had to go. That was a very good putt. A little bit too much pace on it. I ended up being a little bit short, and the number one player in the world wins. Amazing.
Very satisfying tournament, I felt. Very satisfying.
Man. Well, what you and I talked about the last couple of weeks, Tony, this is what the PGA Tour needed.
Yeah.
They needed big names, big course, big crowds, and we'll see if the ratings reflect it. I would assume that the ratings are going to be pretty good. That was a heck of a tournament to watch. The ratings have been bad all year, but that's based on what we talked about last week, that the fields haven't been great. The leaderboards haven't been great. It all came together last week for the tour. That was an awesome, awesome players. The right guy won it for the tour. The right events happened for 4 days. The weather was right. The whole thing was good, and it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun to be there.
Good, good. Congratulations on being there. The rest of us watch it on TV. We're going to go to the brackets now. We're going to start on my bracket on the top right, which is the South, which is the Houston division. And I'm going to ask you in the first round, any upsets at all, and let me invoke the Bob Ryan rule. 9/8 is an upset. It is. I'm sorry, it is, Bob. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, 9/8 is an upset. Yeah. I love Bob Ryan. He's a legend, but 9 is higher than 8.
Yeah.
So it's got to be an upset. Now look, I just want to preface this by saying none of us are going to be as funny as Greg Garcia when he comes on this week, so it's a little bit unfair to do this to all of us.
He better not pick Longwood again. Better go another way.
I'm sure he's got Longwood or Drake winning it all.
Yeah.
And God bless him. I hope that happens. A&M's going to get an upset in the first round. James Madison's going to win a 12. I think that's my only upset in the first round on the upper right.
So you've got Duke, you've got Texas Tech, you've got Kentucky, you've got Florida beating whomever.
Marquette.
Right?
Yeah.
And you got Marquette.
Well,
okay.
Marquette, yeah.
All right, let's go down one to the Purdue region. What do you got?
The Purdue region. God, is Purdue going to get through? Is this going to be like a UVA? Is this going to be like they could lose it?
Well, he lost. Last year, they lost to the 16. They did.
Right. This is going to be like a UVA thing. Who knows? I think Purdue's going to win his first game. I think Oregon's going to upset South Carolina. I think the 11 is going to advance in the first round. And on the bottom, I've got the 10 seed, Colorado State is going to beat UVA tomorrow night, and then Colorado State is going to upset Texas, and the 10 seed CSU is going to advance to the second round.
Wow, that is fairly daring. I sort of find myself rooting against Texas because I really thought what the coach did about, you know, the hook 'em horns thing really annoyed me early on.
You've got
Oregon beating South Carolina?
I got Oregon winning, yes.
Wow, because South Carolina is one of those teams to me. South Carolina, they're both in this bracket. South Carolina and Creighton are two teams I look at and think, wow, they're pretty good. Okay.
I like Creighton a lot. I like South Carolina's women, but the men's team.
All right, let's go to the East on the top left. We'll get through the first round, and then we'll take everything out. Top left, go ahead.
Okay, let's see.
Oh, please tell me you got Florida Atlantic beating Northwestern. Please tell me that.
I do have Florida Atlantic. I got the Owls winning.
Fantastic.
That's the 8, so that's not an upset for you.
No, but it makes me happy.
Nigel gave me strict instructions here. Only give you upsets in the first round for the basis of time. I've got Washington State going down. I've got the 10 seed down there on the bottom.
You got Drake winning.
That's Drake. Now, they're not going to win at all, according to Greg Garcia or whoever he's going to pick with Longwood or Drake, whoever it is. But they are going to win that first game. That's the only upset I've got. That's sad. That's the only upset I've got.
That's okay.
In the upper left.
Okay, the North Carolina region. Go ahead.
North Carolina. God, North Carolina's a good team, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Broke my heart as a Maryland fan to see North Carolina and Duke go down in the ACC tournament. I don't know how I'm going to get over it. Nevada is going to win. They're going to beat Dayton in a 10-7 game on the bottom left.
Right.
And I think the 11 seed, New Mexico. Patino's kid, New Mexico. The Lobos are going to beat Clemson.
Right.
They're an 11. They're going to win. And I think Michigan State's going to win. According to Bob Ryan, an 8-9 is not an upset, but I think the 9 Michigan State, I think Izzo wins that first game against Mississippi State.
Okie dokie. So now we're going to take everybody out into the Final Four, starting at the top right, starting with Houston, Texas A&M. Take the region all the way out.
Okay. Let's see here. Where am I going? Upper right?
Upper right.
Upper right. We got Houston, Houston's going to win. Houston's then going to beat Duke. Houston's then going to beat Kentucky on the bottom right. Florida's going to play Marquette. Marquette's going to beat Florida. Marquette's going to play Connecticut. Kentucky, excuse me. Kentucky's going to beat Texas Tech, and then Kentucky is going to advance to go play Houston, and then Houston's going to beat Kentucky to get to the Final Four.
So you look at Houston, as I'm sure Kelvin Sampson looks at Houston, and says, that loss is the best thing that's happened to us all year. We're going to rebound from that. We got drilled, and we're better than that, right?
Yeah, I mean, look, there's two ways for great teams to go. There are only about five or six great teams. There are only two ways for great teams to get in this thing. Like UConn, roll through its conference tournament and just keep the keep the train on the tracks. And then Houston gets smacked in the face and say, wait a second, we need to wake up here and we need to be a little bit better and not take everything for granted. So yeah, I like Houston losing that, getting a couple days rest.
Yeah.
You know,
I agree.
Kinda, getting knocked off their pedestal a little bit. I like that.
All right, let's go to the Midwest, the Purdue region. Take us out.
All right, I think Purdue is gonna advance. Past Utah State, and then I think Kentucky, I keep saying Kentucky and Kansas. Kansas is going to win. They will play Gonzaga, and then Kansas will beat Gonzaga, and then Purdue and Kansas will play, and Purdue will beat Kansas. I have this feeling that Purdue, after just like UVA, if they can get past that first weekend, I think Purdue goes to the Final Four.
Okay.
But I think if they can't, then that's obviously going to be a mess for Purdue. And Matt Painter, he's got to advance to the Final Four. He's too good a coach, too good a team. I think Oregon's run ends with Creighton. I love Creighton. Tennessee is going to win its first game, and then Tennessee will advance to the Sweet 16. But I think Creighton will beat Tennessee in the Sweet 16 to advance to the Elite Eight. And then I think Purdue is going to play Creighton, but I think Creighton is going to upset Purdue. And I think Creighton is going to go to the Final Four, Tony. There you go.
Well, I said earlier to you that I thought Creighton and South Carolina were two teams that I liked a lot. I've seen Creighton. The Big East only got three teams in, which, okay, that happens. But Creighton, I've seen them win games, big games. I like them. I think they're good.
Creighton's team. Really good. Good coach, too.
He is a good coach. Okay. Let's go top left, the East, UConn, FAU, and take us all the way out.
By the way, I agree with you on the bitching about the teams not getting in, the schools not getting in, but I do feel bad for Patino. Let's say John should have gotten
it. Okay.
But I also think it would have been fun to see Patino in the tournament, wear the all-white suit, whatever he's going to do. Where are we going, East?
Yeah.
All right. East, oh, man, UConn's real good. UConn's going to roll through. They'll play Florida Atlantic, roll through them. UConn will then play Auburn. I think Auburn will get to that point and then lose. And then BYU and Illinois will play. Illinois is really good, Tony. If they play defense, they're really, really, really good. BYU and Illinois will play. Iowa State on the bottom, very good team. Illinois-Iowa State could be an epic matchup. Those two teams are really, really good. And I think Illinois will beat Iowa State. And then UConn will beat Illinois and get to the Final Four.
Okie dokie. Bottom left.
Bottom left, Michigan State's run ends. Carolina gets to the Sweet 16 or gets to the next round. I think Alabama is going to win. Although, man, I think St. Mary's, Mount St. Mary's is good. Or not Mount St. Mary's, but St. Mary's. But they will get past St. Mary's and then lose to Carolina. On the bottom, I think New Mexico continues. They upset Baylor again. So they'll upset Clemson. They'll upset Baylor. The 11th seed New Mexico. Will then play Arizona. Arizona will beat New Mexico and New Mexico's run, and then it'll be Arizona and Carolina in the Elite Eight, and I got the Cats winning. The Heels go down. The Cats go to the Final Four.
Okay. You got UConn against Arizona in the semifinal. Who you got?
Cats on the left. UConn's going to advance to the final game. On the right, Houston and Creighton. I'd love to take Creighton, but I think Houston's going to do it. And I think it's going to be Houston and UConn. I think UConn's going to win it all and repeat. What's that, first time to repeat since Florida did it?
Yes. 2000? Yes, yeah. Since Billy Donovan's team, since Florida. All right, so you have UConn winning.
I hate to go with our friend Jay Billis, but I think UConn is the best team.
You're advising people out there to see if you're good or you're not good. I think UConn's probably the best team.
let's make something clear, Tony. I'm not advising anybody. The only advice I would give is to run away from this bracket and hide.
Well, I was going to say, you don't have anyone past a three, right?
In the final four, yeah.
Well, not even in the final 16.
Yeah, I just think it's one of those years that I think the cream will rise. I think there'll be some upsets in the first day.
Yeah.
First 2 days, Thursday and Friday, and then a lot fewer on Saturday and Sunday. I've got New Mexico getting past the weekend, but other than that, I think it's pretty chalk.
Yeah, I should say the final eight. Your final eight is all the one, twos, and threes.
Pretty chalk. Eventually the higher seeds win.
They're better teams.
What is it, higher seeds or lower seeds, Tony? You're the judge.
I think it's higher seeds, but I understand the conflict there because it's lower numbers. I understand that.
So the one seed is the higher seed than the eight.
To me. All right. Yeah. Thank you, Steve. We'll check back. Thank you.
All right. Be good. Take care.
Steve Sands, boys and girls. We'll take a break. We'll have Michael Wilbon when we return. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This comes from us from John DiNunzio. I wanted to share my daughter JJ's debut single, Misery. She wrote it, and she sings and plays guitar on it, too. It dropped a couple of days ago. JJ, a senior in high school, told me nothing would make her happier than having it played on a sports podcast, so I sent it in. She started playing and writing music in the summer of 2021. First live performance was June of 2022. As Tony may recall, I'm a soccer fan for a while. I thought soccer would be JJ's thing in high school, but then she picked up a guitar. Things changed. I'm not complaining. She saw both The Who and Springsteen with me at Capital One Arena in the last 2 years. She was blown away by the boss's show. As for The Who, well. Wilbon, this is John DiNunzio, right? This is his daughter.
Oh, wow.
I mean, I've got to assume this is who we worked with at the Post. I've got to assume this is his daughter, JJ, right?
I have no idea.
Neither do I, but I think so. It's called Misery. It plays
good
in Michael
them.
Wilbon. We will get to Wilbon's brackets in about a minute. Justin Fields gone.
Yep.
Goes to Pittsburgh, where Russell Wilson lands. Goes for a sixth-round draft pick. I know how much you like Justin Fields.
Mm-hmm.
I am of the opinion that Justin Fields will be a starter in the NFL for 10 years. I like Justin Fields. I don't know that I would have kept him if I was Chicago, and I think I would have bailed out earlier and tried to get more. What are your thoughts?
Well, the thought is you wish they'd gotten more. That you drafted him, I think, number 11 4 years ago, and you didn't get, I was not into the getting rid of Justin Fields thing at all. I just wasn't. And it had nothing to do with who else could play. I thought there's talent there with Fields that was sort of untapped. Good for him if he goes to Pittsburgh, wherever he goes, I'm going to root for Justin Fields. But, yeah, you'd hope that the Bears were going to get a third-round pick at least. Third-round pick is a guy who you think usually third-round projects to be a starter in the NFL at some point. Six is,
Washington got more for Sam Howell. And I'm going to tell you this, and I'll live or go down on this one. I believe by game six of the season, Justin Fields will be the starter in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I
believe that.
I don't, but...
Right, I know.
Because I believe that Russell Wilson has...
You believe he has more left than I do.
A little bit, yeah. Some, a year or so. I'm just trying to get over the disappointment of that and get on with it. It's like, okay, now we know, finally know, we think we know can we get on with this? And the Bears have done a good job of assembling skill position players for the young quarterback, whoever that was going to be. So I love having DJ Moore and Keenan
Allen.
Allen. I don't like having them. I love that.
I agree.
Having though had two veteran capable receivers and Cole Kmet, the tight end, is still a holdover. Three running backs, including Swift, that they just got last week. Then they got some depth. So they don't have the line has to be better than this, whether it was for Justin Fields or Caleb Williams or anybody. And so they can do that. They still have the ninth pick in the draft in the first round.
They're going to be fine. They've assembled skilled players. They're going to be. They're actually going to be fine. All right, let's go to the brackets. Let's start in the top right in the South, the Houston bracket. First round, any upsets at all?
Wait, hold on. I got the bracket here, but I have to locate. I don't have. I have Nebraska. I can't even read whether the 8 or the 9 is
They're
Nebraska.
An 8. They're an 8. That's okay.
So, yeah. And I've got Wisconsin, Duke. Okay. I've got NC State winning.
Okay.
A first-round game. I've got Kentucky. I've got Florida, Marquette. There's chalk there. Purdue. I've got Utah State.
Okay.
But that's the 8 of the 9, right? Utah State.
That's the 8 of the 9.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I've got Gonzaga. Kansas, I'm tempted to pick against Kansas, but not with a 13 seed. I do have Oregon.
Okay.
Creighton, Texas, Tennessee. And do you want the next round?
No. Yeah, we're going to go first round in all four. So let's go to UConn.
Okay.
UConn first round as well.
Yeah, and I've got UConn, Northwestern with a shock. I've got San Diego State. And, you know, you got to. 11s and 12s, you really got to take a chance on some of these. But I've got Auburn. I've got BYU, the best shooting team maybe in the tournament. I've got them, so that's not an upset either. I've got Illinois, Washington State. No upsets there. Iowa State, Carolina, Michigan State. Is that the 8-9 Michigan State?
Yeah.
I've got St. Mary's. That's a spot I know a lot of people – you know, are taking an upset. Bama, I've got New Mexico beating Clemson.
Okay.
So there's an upset. I've got Baylor, Nevada, and Arizona.
Okay, so Nevada beating Dayton is an upset. That's
10-7. Yes.
All right, so we're going to go back. Now we're going to go all the way out region by region. We're going to go out in the Houston region. Take us to the six teams and out.
The six teams and out. So I've got Houston. I've got Wisconsin beating Duke.
Okay.
I've got Kentucky. I've got Marquette, very chalky. I've got Purdue, Gonzaga, Creighton, and Texas. So I don't think there's much in the way of upsets there either, is there?
Well, not really. No, but that's okay. All right. Okay. So let's stay on that side of the bracket.
Okay.
Houston, Wisconsin. Who you got?
I've got Wisconsin beating
Whoa.
Houston. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Wisconsin. Well, first of all, my bracket is
Big Ten.
It's insane.
Bracket.
It's insane because I don't have conviction of anything, and I watch too much Big Ten. You're gonna see what you see in my whole bracket. The end of it here. I've got Kentucky and Marquette. And I've got Marquette winning, beating Kentucky.
Okay, Marquette, Wisconsin to the Final Four.
I've got Wisconsin beating Marquette.
Okay. All right, in the Purdue Gonzaga.
Yeah, I've got Purdue beating Gonzaga. I've got Creighton beating Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got Purdue beating Creighton.
Okay, so you have two Big Ten teams in the Final Four already.
I got Wisconsin and Purdue.
Okay, all right, let's go to the other side, UConn, Northwestern. Are you picking Northwestern to beat UConn?
Not exactly.
Okay, I didn't think so.
I will be at that game, if there's such a thing. I will be at it. It's in Brooklyn.
Right.
I will be traveling out to attend and cheer on purple.
Okay.
But, you know, and we have played against, we've won the 8-9 game in our two appearances in the tournament. We lost to Gonzaga. We got hosed about 7 years ago. After playing, we had Gonzaga on the ropes, could have won that game when they were the overall one. And then last year we played UCLA really well.
Yes.
When they were the one. And so now we get the overall one if we win. If we beat last year's Final Four team, we get a shot at UConn. So no, I don't have, I got UConn, I got San Diego State beating Auburn. I've got Illinois beating BYU. I've got Iowa State beating Washington State. I've got Carolina beating Michigan State, although it's hard for me to do that. I got St. Mary's beating Alabama. That's an upset.
Okay.
Right, by seeding. Yes. I've got New Mexico beating Baylor.
That's an upset.
I've got Arizona beating Nevada.
Okay.
And I don't have any faith in that either.
Okay. UConn, San Diego State.
I got UConn beating San Diego State. Illinois beating Iowa State. I've got St. Mary's beating North Carolina.
Ooh, that's a big one. Okay.
And I got Arizona beating New Mexico.
Okay. UConn, Illinois.
I got Illinois beating UConn.
Okay. That's three out of three Big Ten schools now in the Final Four. You don't have a chance on your last one, so it'll be three out of four. Because St. Mary's and Arizona, not yet in the Big Ten.
That's
not
right.
Yet. Who you got?
So I've got St. Mary's beating UNC, and I've got St. Mary's beating Arizona.
So you have that is a big-time pick on the Final Four. That's
Saint
a big-time pick.
Yeah.
Okay. Illinois, so St. Mary's.
I got Illinois beating St. Mary's.
And you got, I'll bet you have Purdue beating Wisconsin.
I have Purdue beating Wisconsin.
And I'll bet you have Purdue winning.
I have Illinois.
You do? Winning.
Yep. This kid Shannon is a real, real college basketball player. This kid is a beast.
I thought you hated Illinois.
No, I don't hate Illinois. I just is like talking to, Cheryl about this. You know, I keep explaining. No, this is not like, we don't have a Duke, North Carolina situation. We don't have that. But that's why the Big Ten Network works and
but
crushes
But you love
all
when Northwestern beats Illinois in particular because you don't like that Illinois.
No, it's not because I don't like Illinois. Illinois is populated by people who are me.
Right.
Illinois is, before I knew what Northwestern was, I rooted for Illinois, school of Richard Butkus and Bobby Mitchell.
That's right.
No, I don't. No, I okay. don't hate Illinois. No, not at all.
That's an interesting Final Four. Three Big Ten schools in
the
same
year. It's insane. It's
taking stupid. A shot. All right, I'll talk to you later.
All right, Tom.
Michael Wilbon, boys and girls. We move on. Barry's Verluga. When we return, I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
Mr. Tony raved about NFL free agent catches. Michael spoke of grilling, tender steaks in batches. Nigel spoke reverently of the baseball matches. George said nothing. George said nothing, though his golf ball nearly hit a woman up ahead. Four would have been appropriate. He went into a crowded theater. Have you heard? A fire broke out. George never said a word. We'll bunk all the analytics, crowd a bunch of fakers. Jeff Ma set the odds for Caitlin Clark to join the Lakers. Reginald spoke well of the Bethesda bagel bakers. George said nothing.
It's brilliant. It's Dan Byrne. If George Bushby is listening to this, he's jumping out the window. It's a first floor window,
yeah.
So don't worry about it at the golf shop, but he's jumping out the window. Yes. Absolutely brilliant. George said nothing. It plays in Barry Zwarluga, who was at the ACC tournament, which was oddly held in Washington, D.C. I'm going to assume that UNC got a number one seed because both Arizona and Tennessee lost earlier than UNC. Does that make sense? How else would we explain it, right?
I guess that's the only way to explain it. I mean, I guess Iowa State would be the other team in the running there, and clearly, as I said on the selection show, they must not have been that in the running because they are in the same bracket as the number one overall seed. So, yeah, I guess I was surprised that Carolina was a one without having won the ACC title, but they did get to the championship game, and that must have counted.
Five out of the six teams that could have been number one seeds lost in their conference tournaments. Only UConn won.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, last year's tournament was chaotic with Florida Atlantic and San Diego State getting to the Final Four, and I think – you know, not to make sweeping proclamations based on scant evidence, but that's kind of what we're paid for. I think that might be college basketball in the present and the future, because you've got a situation where, you know, players change teams all the time. You're going to see players in this tournament that you've seen play in the tournament for other teams. There's not the continuity that there once was. And so chaos kind of rules the day, and it makes it basically pure folly to try to pick a bracket, because we have no idea what we're guessing about.
So because you can't build a team anymore unless you are, you know, your top 20 teams are not built for the long haul, although Creighton may be. But I think the advantage goes to a John Calipari, who does this every single year, you know, and who understands how to bring a team along late. I'm just saying that this seems to me his kind of basketball. Do you agree or disagree?
Well, you're going to listen to my bracket in a little bit, and you'll find out that I do agree with that. I mean, he has been doing
the
one-and-done thing for more than a decade with various degrees of success, right? I mean, it's not always – it hasn't always worked.
No,
but
he won.
That's
he
a
won
good
one.
Analogy. It's, he knows how to get a team together over – 30 games instead of over 90 that it used to take.
I agree. All right, let's start in the top right, which is the South, the Houston region. Is there any upset you've got in the first round?
So I've got three in the first round. One would be Texas A&M over Nebraska. That's based on the best version of them, which is beating Kentucky before. I have James Madison in part because they're 31-3, in part because I'm going to talk to their coach in a couple hours and write about them.
Okay.
And I have Colorado, and I do that because I think that's a pick against the rest of the pool, because you have to pick them essentially to win two games because they're in Dayton. So that's a counterculture pick.
So even though Wilbon was just on and picked Wisconsin to go to the Final Four, you have him out in the first round. That makes me happy. All right, let's go down a little bit to the Purdue region. What have you got in the first round?
So in the first round, I have Samford over Kansas, which would be kind of a stunner. Kansas is a little banged up. That's just some 13 has to win, so that's my 13. I have Oregon, the last Pac-12 tournament champion, over South Carolina. And then again, I'm picking somebody out of Dayton, and this is risky, of course, because UVA can lose any game they play, but I'll take Virginia to beat both Colorado State and Dayton and then advance by beating Texas.
Okay, and you have Creighton. I love Creighton. That's just me. All right, let's move to the other side, the UConn bracket. Any upsets in the first round?
So I have Alabama, Birmingham over San Diego State, just to get the Final Four team from last year out. I have Drake over Washington State, mostly because my dad went to graduate school at Drake.
Okay.
And those are the only two upsets in the first round I have there.
You didn't go for Yale over Auburn, huh?
I didn't. Meeting of the minds. Though.
But you have FAU over Northwestern sticking it to Wilbon. You have that.
I do. I have that, and I'd like to say it was sticking it to Wilbon, but it's also because I think a lot of people will say, oh, I'll take the 9 over the 8 and the, take the, you know, it's a pick against the pool is what I would say.
Okay. And then the North Carolina region. Go ahead.
I have Michigan State just because I love Izzo over Mississippi State. And I have New Mexico over Clemson. That's as much a pick against Clemson as it is a pick for New Mexico.
Everybody on the show today made that same pick. Every single person on the show took New Mexico. Okay, and you've got Dayton over Nevada. A lot of people took, two of the others took Nevada. Okay, so we'll take it out to the Final Four now, starting with Houston. Houston, Texas A&M, and we'll go in that in depth in that bracket.
Well, so I want to bounce a one seed early because of, I believe in chaos theory here. So I'm going to take Texas A&M over Houston.
Buzz Williams, moving on. Okay.
And then I have Duke against James Madison. I can't really take James Madison into the next weekend as much as I'd like to. Duke playing in Brooklyn is kind of like a home game. Mm-hmm. I'll take Duke. I have Kentucky over Texas Tech. That Calipari theory feels about right to me. And I have Marquette because I do like Marquette and Shock Smart over Colorado.
Yeah, their best player's injured, right?
Yeah, but I mean, this stuff, we're rolling dice here, Tony.
Okay. All right, Texas A&M Duke.
You know, I don't like this Duke team. They seem soft in a way. They're very talented, but, you know, they got bounced by NC State in the in the ACC tournament. But that said, I just can't push a 9 seed through to the Elite Eight. So I'm taking Duke reluctantly to get to the Elite Eight.
Okay.
And then I do have Kentucky over Marquette. And I if that game comes about, I think it could be really fun. But the injury comes into play there, and I'll take the Wildcats.
And you'll take them over Duke?
I will, and, you know, I like the idea of, you look at a bracket and you see Duke and Kentucky in a regional final, like, this tournament is built on history, like, give it to me, sign me up every day, and I'll take Kentucky this time to get to the Final Four in Phoenix.
I don't disagree with that. I think Calipari knows how to do this thing. All right, Purdue-Utah State, take us out in that one.
Well, here's a bet against Purdue, and I know it's a very common theme going into this, that the pressure's on them because they lost in the first round as a one seed last year, et cetera, et cetera. But this is based on Zach Edey, their best player, enormous center who can score and rebound and do all that. I think he benefits during the Big Ten season by the Big Ten style of play. And that is officials that don't blow the whistle on, you know, ticky-tack stuff. And I had a coach suggest this to me over the weekend, that when they get into the tournament and they're not dealing with just straight-up Big Ten style of play, that he's going to get called for more of that stuff. And if he gets called for more of that stuff, they're not – everything runs through him for them. So that's a long-winded way of saying I don't know anything about Utah State, but I'm taking them over Purdue because I think Purdue is kind of an easy out here as a one seed.
Okay. Gonzaga, Samford.
I have Gonzaga, and I'm having Gonzaga go deep in the tournament this year because so many times in the past when they were supposed to go deep and didn't go deep, this is kind of the reverse of that. I will take Creighton over Oregon. You seem to like Creighton.
I
will take Tennessee over UVA. And then to get to the regional final, I have Gonzaga over Utah State just because I don't feel like I can push Utah State through there, and Creighton over Tennessee in what I think would be just a fantastic game. I mean, it's just the possibilities that you know, when you put together a bracket, you kind of end up rooting for matchups you'd like to see. I'd like to see Creighton and Tennessee in a Sweet 16 game. That would be fun.
And Gonzaga-Creighton?
I have Creighton to the Final Four, and I feel really good about that. I feel like they are well-coached. They are a team. They've beaten Connecticut, and they beat them handily once. So I feel, you know, I know they're a 3 seed and maybe not a traditional pick, but they might be a chic pick this year because they do feel like they've got a little bit of juice to them.
I agree with that. Totally agree with that. Okay, let's go with the UConn region. Take us out.
I have UConn over Florida Atlantic. Not difficult for me to do that. I have Auburn over UAB. I love the idea of Auburn and Alabama, Birmingham, two schools that are separated by like probably an hour, playing in Spokane, Washington. So let's, that's a lot of fun. I have Illinois over BYU. And I kind of, I mean, Illinois is a solid resume. I've really thought about them to get to the Final Four. Very good, you know, record in the Big Ten. And then I'm taking Drake, a 10 seed, over Iowa State. And I feel weird about that one just because of Iowa State's performance in
the tournament,
in the conference tournament this past weekend. But I also, I've been tricked so many times, like, oh, wow, they looked so great in the conference tournament. You got to stay on the hot hand. And so this is a pick against that line of thinking, like somebody's got to go out who just had a great performance. So
there's another part to this, and people discount this. These kids at Drake, that's in Iowa, okay? The kids at Drake probably are angry that Iowa State did not recruit them, and they probably want to kill Iowa State. There's a motivation there. Those in-state games, there's a motivation there for the sort of the lower team to win all the time, right? All the time.
And that's now going to be my reasoning when I tell people why I picked Drake to go to the Sweet 16. So, yes, good. I think that's very – it's solid, Tony. I mean, you know, when Northern Iowa plays Iowa, that matters.
Yeah,
I think those are – that's really, really good
use
good
it.
Reasoning.
Steal it. Take it.
I'm stealing it. Yep, I'll write it. Yeah.
Okay.
And then go back to the top in a Sweet 16 game. I have UConn over Auburn. I haven't said this yet. I'm sure everybody's saying it, but it, you know, Connecticut proved to be the best team from start to finish this year. So it's just very difficult for me to pick against them. I do have Illinois over Drake to get to the Elite Eight, and then I'll take the Huskies from Connecticut to get to the Final Four for the second year in a row.
I should remind people, if they don't know this, last year UConn did not lose a single non-conference game. Not one. You don't have conference games in the tournament. And this year they lost one. They lost one to a three seed. They're right. They're really good.
They're
really
very,
good.
Very good.
They're really
they're
good.
Very good. And they do now that the Big East has kind of reassembled itself and reasserted itself. You know, there were times when that conference was barely being held together, but now I think it provides a really proper test from start to finish. I mean, Georgetown, DePaul are freebies in that league, but there's not a lot of other freebies when you play that conference. So.
All right, UNC Michigan State, that's a game people will want to see. Yep.
They will want to see it, and I'll add a little wrinkle here. Tom Izzo's top assistant is Doug Wojcik, who was David Robinson's point guard
at
Navy a million years ago. His son, Paxson, is a guard at Carolina. And he doesn't play very much. He's a transfer from Brown. But I know that Doug Wojcik knows Carolina inside and out and will add a little coaching wrinkle to that game. I'm still taking Carolina. I love the talent. I think if they get Bacot the ball as much as they should, he's got to touch it more times than not. I just think that despite their loss to NC State on Saturday night, the talent wins out there. But that definitely is a marquee second-round game. That might be the best second-round game if that comes to fruition. I have Alabama over St. Mary's. I have New Mexico over Baylor, which might be – that's kind of a – maybe – I think that's my highest-seeded Sweet 16 pick. And I have Arizona over Dayton. Arizona is – I know they've had bumps along the way, but the talent and size and strength is very, very obvious on that team. I'll take Carolina over Alabama, and I think they mentioned this on the selection show. Arizona over New Mexico sets up Arizona and Carolina, and that, of course, is Caleb Love, who played 3 years at Carolina, hit – arguably one of the biggest shots in program history, a three-pointer against Duke in the Final Four that sealed that win, which is like, I mean, having been at that game, the way I describe it is if you ever wondered or thought about what a Duke-Carolina Final Four game would feel like, that's what it would feel like. It was so tense in that arena, and Caleb Love hit the big shot. Has a very, very weird legacy at Carolina because of that, because – he wasn't a very consistent player for all his talent. So he's at Arizona now. He's part of a very talented team. He was the Pac-12 Player of the Year for Arizona, playing against his own old teammates. And I'm going to take the Wildcats through to the Final Four over Carolina.
So you have UConn, Arizona. Who do you like in that?
I'm taking Connecticut, and I'm sure you're going to have a bunch of people on this week who are taking Connecticut. But I just can't get away from they're the best team with the fewest weaknesses and the best resume. So I'll move. But that game, UConn-Arizona, I mean, again, if you draw up games you'd like to see, I'd like to see that game. That's a lot of talent on that floor.
The only thing missing from that game is the fact that Bobby Hurley coaches Arizona State and not Arizona, because Bobby Hurley and Danny Hurley would be fun.
That would be incredibly fun. Unfortunately, Bobby Hurley hasn't built his program.
No, he'll be fired.
Yeah.
He's going to be fired.
He's in trouble.
Yeah.
The other side, I have Kentucky Creighton. I really like Creighton, but as we said at the beginning, Tony, I feel like Kentucky is becoming the best version of Kentucky at the exact right time. So I'm going to almost reluctantly take Kentucky to get to the national championship game, because I think Creighton is really, really a strong team and well-coached team. But I have a feeling about Calipari in this tournament, so I'll take him and the Wildcats into the national title game against UConn.
Who wins?
I have UConn, and that's so boring when I started this whole thing by saying college basketball is ruled by chaos now and unpredictability, and I'm making the most predictable choice. But
they're the best team.
Yeah,
they're the best team. It's going to be an upset if they lose.
That's exactly what I was just going to say. If they lose a game in this tournament to anybody, it will be an upset. Agreed. They will be favored against any opponent. That doesn't mean they can't and won't lose. Like, they sure can, but it's hard for me to sit down and do this bracket and come out with a result other than UConn.
I agree. Thankfully, I don't have to give brackets. I don't have to do brackets. I just have to give away sport jackets at the end to the winner. So I feel good about that. Thank you, Barry.
Appreciate it, Tony. Thanks. Have a great week.
Barry Zwerluga, boys and girls. Wonderful sports columnist at the Washington Post. We'll take a break. We will have email and jingle when we return. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Here comes Tony's mailbag. Got your emails, faxes, and your notes. Here comes Tony's mailbag. Gonna read some for all of you folks.
It's haunting to me, that Tim Wildsmith song. I really like that.
It's beautiful.
You want to do the Bethesda Bagel ad for us?
Yes, Bethesda Bagels. We love them. You will as well. Got the bagel sandwiches today. Always happy about that.
Yes.
Just go to BethesdaBagels.com for their location in the D.C. area nearest you. Then pop one in, my friend, and you will be thrilled.
That's going to just about do it for us today. Before we get to the mailbag, let me say, I don't mind other guys dancing with my girl. That's fine. I know them all pretty well. But I know sometimes I must get out in the light. Better leave her behind with the kids are all right. The kids are all right. That's The Who, and that was when they had the original four people, right?
Yes.
Keith Moon was their drummer at that point.
Keith was still with them, yes.
Right, and they were, and are, there's two of them left now, Pete Townsend and Roger Daltrey.
That's
John
right.
John Entwistle is gone.
Entwistle is no longer with us,
but they were the greatest garage band to ever live.
Yes.
It's as simple as that. But please, don't tell me they're the Beatles. Don't do this to me, but they were the greatest garage band to ever live. They are the highest volume, highest octane rock and roll band of all time.
Yeah.
They are. Thanks to our guests today, Steve Sands, Michael Wilbon, Barry Zwerluga. Thanks as well to today's sponsors. Remember, you can listen to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, and Odyssey. Get the show through Apple. Please give us a review.
Once again, we'd like to invite you to play the Tony Kornheiser Show 2024 Tournament Challenge. Again, if you're going through the ESPN portal, make sure that you are in the 24 version. The 23, which might have invited you to join yesterday, should now say Old Bracket Challenge. No, they just want to make it easier for you to continue to rejoin every group that you've ever been in, which continues to frustrate me to no end. So make sure it says 2024. There is a password protection for this, Tony K, all lowercase, and we're going to let you throw in two brackets.
And you should know, and I said this earlier in the show, but I'm saying it again here, one of the prizes, we don't have all the prizes decked out yet, one of the prizes will be a PTI-worn sport jacket from Brooks Brothers.
How about that?
A gray pinstriped sport jacket from Brooks Brothers.
Game this is the worn. Second year in a
Game
row.
Worn. Yes, yes, I'm doing that. From Sterling Dorrance, who is a vet, you will never know how pleased I was to hear my email read on your show. It made me smile. But here is my promise. As I've said, I've been doing dairy cows, moo cows, as we like to
moo
call
cows,
them,
yes.
For 35 years. Pretty sure you have no cows, but you do have a dog. You brought me such joy listening to your podcast over the years that my offer is this. My wife, Gail, who's also a vet, but a small animal vet, also for 35 years, and I know no one who is smarter, better than her at anything, including dogs and cats. So please, if you ever have a moment where you need some help or advice, or you or anyone else on the show about animals, please call me, and he gives the number. Unless she has left me, I will make sure you get the best possible advice. Take care of yourself, sir, which is very nice.
So you think they'd help with, like, what schools we want to send the cats and the dogs to?
Yeah, sure. You want to go Ivy? You still want to go Ivy? Or you want to go state school? Cheap. Best, this is from Nathan Ackerheim from, I hope I pronounced that correctly, from, or maybe Ackerheim. From Charlotte, North Carolina, between you and Tim, Daryl from Comcast has his hands full. I hope you have some extra Brazilian coffee ice cream for him and all of his troubles. He's wonderful, and he's happy to come over here, which makes me
yes,
happy.
Yes, we love Daryl.
From Mike McGinnis, who's a Delaware River pilot and a member at Rehoboth Beach Country Club, and who I've played with a lot and is a graduate of Colgate and is a very, very likable guy. I was introduced to your podcast on an impromptu road trip to Hilton Head after a flight cancellation with George Bushby. By the way, thanks for turning his mic on the second time. I've been listening for about 14 months. I've enjoyed everything about the show. The most enjoyable segments to me have been when you have Tim Kirkchin on. Obviously, Tim's insight into baseball is unmatched and extremely entertaining. However, the best so far is when you started ranting back and forth on what tech gadget you both can't operate. Michael's line about his new future podcast with Tim's son had me spitting out my drink. Love the show. This was the first segment that really motivated me to write. Thanks for all the laughs and the one cry from the legendary One in a Million story, was fantastic. Looking forward to playing this summer with you at RBCC. See you at your Talent Cup. I really like him. From John in Herndon. Tim Kirkchin may not be able to order a Miller Lite, but he sure can pick out an avocado. From Adam Pankratz in Vancouver in Canada. Thank you for your amazing and hilarious segment on Friday's show with Tim Kirkchin. Had me in stitches. The segment reminded me of my efforts to help an elderly neighbor get an email account, which he had long wanted. I went over and sat down at his computer and said, okay, now I'm going to help you set up your Gmail account. To which the response came, Gmail, what's Gmail? You told me I was going to get email. Never change, old people. We love you. From Feinsand, update from Arizona. Sims wins first prize for first mentioning flushing the mouse.
Yes.
I can't wait for him to use it on a broadcast when someone makes an error this season. We need to have T-shirts. It's possible I invented something. It's possible. People are using this. Broadcasters that we know are using this.
Yes.
John Mossman, Meridian, Idaho. Several weeks ago, my uncle Wynn suggested in an email that we begin using the term flush the mouse to indicate an extreme state of panic under duress. It was funny. We all laughed. The phrase has since outgrown its cage and is rampaging out of control. Between that phrase and Fonz you, I'm told by the woman to whom he is related to by marriage that Wynn has become increasingly difficult to live with as his self-recognition explodes. And then last episode, you subtly suggested that you turn flush the mouse into a T-shirt. As the nephew of the originator... He's the originator?
He might have sent the email and used the phrase.
I humbly submit the attached images of various potential variations on the logos free of charge. Use them as you please. I'll leave them to you and the guys at marketing. We'll send these over to Michael.
Okay.
The way,
there we go.
To give to
pass
Rob.
Pass these to Rob.
Yeah. From Kristen LeBlanc. Chuck and Rock. Chuck and Roxy episode 176. What are we even flushing here, man? That's funny. That's funny. Roy Matthews in Colorado Springs. I just listened to a podcast that explains the origin of popular sayings in the English language. It explained beyond the pale, fiddling while Rome burns, red herring, and hoist on his own petard. It left out, that's it. That's the list. Hmm. That guy flushed the mouse. P.S. Tell Tom Oppelt to eat it. From Elizabeth Gardner in North Austin, Texas. Of course, because North is as old as it's just better.
That's where you want to be.
What song were you thinking of when Patches was mentioned on Friday's show? Nigel correctly identified Clarence Carter as a singer and you said no. I've always loved the song Patches. It reminds me of my dad and him playing the 45 of it on the record player back in the 70s. Please tell me about something, the other song called Patches. Patches, was it Clarence Carter?
Well, he did have a version
of it.
It's
a very sad song, and part of it is the loss of Patches, my love.
Yeah, I think the next email has the actual one you were thinking
Ed
of.
Ed Butt, Patches, Dickie Lee.
There you go.
A terrible song, but I have it on my death medley playlist. Why? Because it epitomizes that awful genre. Yes, that's the one I'm thinking
of.
Yes. Okay. From Paul Quinn in Armidale in West Lothian, which we talked about a lot in Scotland. The clocks don't go forward here until the 31st of March. How do you like them apples? Thank you, Paul. Brandon Costello. On the subject of daylight savings, does anybody really know what time it is? Does anybody really care about time? You know, I can't imagine why. Oh, no, we all got time enough to cry. That's funny. That's Chicago. That's funny. From Sean Ramage in Valrico, Florida. Don't know where that
is. Not familiar with Valrico.
I got a puppy, Grover, during the COVID quarantine. The fresh dog food advertising worked on me, and soon I was spending about $125 a month on Farmer's Dog. I ultimately started making my own using chicken breasts, a giant bag of frozen vegetables, olive oil, and canned pumpkin, which my vet said would aid digestion. It does.
Yeah, it does.
It does. It if your dog's pooping too much, pumpkin is good. Same as rice. When I had to go back to the office for work, I switched to kibble as I no longer had extra time to spend making meals for the dog. Here's what I learned. Fresh is about 5 times more expensive than kibble. The dog doesn't seem to care either way.
Nope.
The dog's teeth and breath were much better on the fresh food, so much so that the vet and groomer would notice. From Gary Van Giesen, David Letterman's old joke about premium dog foods made without a speck of cereal. My dog spends most of the day rooting through the garbage and drinking out of the toilet. I don't think a little cereal in his food is going to bother him. I think Chessie's going to do just fine. From Josh Cohn in Bryn Mawr, Pennsylvania. NC State has more Capital One Arena wins this week, 5-0, than the Wizards have had all season, 4-26. How about that?
And they lost again yesterday, didn't they?
At least they didn't bring Georgetown into that.
Mark Lynch in North Canby, Indiana. On Friday's Open, you talked about chicken salad and sweaters. Thanks for staying relevant. And from Claire Natola. I don't have a basement here in the apartment I've moved to in Delaware, Ohio. Therefore, I'm typing this email from the bathroom, where I am waiting out my first tornado warning since moving. It's a weird experience for an I-95 girl, but I just received a message from Mike Todd, not that Mike Todd, in nearby Pickerington, checking in to make sure that all is okay. Thank you for engendering this wonderful community of caring individuals. If the worst happens, I bequeath my collection of Eric Londergan cartoons to Bootsy the Hammer and the Captain.
That's cool. Lovely.
And Claire.
Thank you.
If you're out on your bike tonight, everyone, as always, do wear white.
She may get woolly. Young girls, they do get woolly. Because of all the stress.
It's insane.
Yeah.
No. No, it's Bull Durham. No, you're wrong, Tim Robbins, Nuke LaLoosh. No, you're wrong. And that's why he wants to hit you in the face.
With the guitar.
The guitar. That's exactly right. Why Kevin Costner wants to hit you.
Your sin, your saint, don't look at me that way. Your hate, you use me up. You said I look good and too impressed. You know what you say, I'll play the game. You'll soon regret what you gave away. Misery likes company like you, like me. Misery's my sanity since you found me. Misery, the sweetest grace.
Tony raved about NFL free agent catches. Michael spoke of grilling, tender steaks in batches. Nigel spoke reverently of the baseball matches. George said nothing. George said nothing, though his golf ball nearly hit a woman up ahead, or would have been appropriate. He went into a crowded theater. Have you heard? A fire broke out. George never said a word. Wilbon yelled about the Bears and would Field have any takers. Jeff Ma set the odds for whether Caitlin joins the Lakers. Reginald spoke well of the Bethesda bagel bakers. George said nothing.